coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites for the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can get the video, the audio, download, watch, listen, whatever. Braille it, I don't know. It's all there. HagmanReport.com is show prep. Relying heavily today, second hour, on that website. Folks, bookmark HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. Also, folks, please do this for me. As we approach tomorrow, when the terms of service change for YouTube and for social networking platforms, Google, Alphabet, one kind of last shot I ask of you to do this. Subscribe to YouTube, The Hagman Report on YouTube. Please do that. Subscribe to The Hagman Report on YouTube. Now, you might not use YouTube. You say, whatever. Just subscribe. You know, I mean, look, if you don't watch it on YouTube, you can delete the notifications. It's all right, okay? But just do that. Also, follow us. Again, this is for analytics, specifically for the algorithms, and to kind of throw a monkey wrench, in my view anyway, into the plans of the social network pirates. And bookmark or click like or follow, whatever the terminology might be, Hagman Report on Facebook and Twitter, and Doug Hagman on Douglas Hagman on Facebook and Twitter. Again, you don't even have to go there. I mean, it's not the point. We're playing in their sandbox. And so if they're going to kick sand in our face, we're going to do a few things. So it's asking for your help. All right. If it's Monday, then you know the Liberty Man comes and pays a visit and analyzes, well, the news of the day. Folks, if you don't know who John Moore is, he's a very highly acclaimed investigator. I mean, he's the key to the John Moore Show, which can be heard on RBN. Go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. And there you'll find all of the resources necessary to follow and to listen to the Liberty Man, John Moore. John, how are you?
I am wonderful, Doug. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good, good. Did you have a nice weekend? Let's get that out of the way. Let's get the small talk out of the way. Did you have a nice weekend?
I had a pretty nice weekend, beautiful weather here. Didn't get to ride my motorcycle, but got a lot of projects done around the house, laundry, dishes, things like that. Exciting stuff.
Exciting. Well, hey, you know, okay, yeah. Yeah, so, all right, we have the impeachment hearings going on, or went on today, I should say. The IG report dropped. You know, all of this stuff going on. And of course, Owen Schroyer today, this morning at the impeachment hearings, causing a ruckus. Apparently, he didn't like the coup taking place. So he stood up and spoke at Nadler about the coup taking place, and he was promptly escorted from the chambers and arrested.
Who was it that stood up, sir?
Owen Schroyer from InfoWars Association. Anyway, there was an incident. But anyway, so we've got the impeachment fiasco in the committees going on. We've got the IG report. We've got all of this stuff. Where are you looking? I know you had a great show today, but where are you looking?
Well, obviously I'm following it because it needs to be followed. The Democrats will just continue to make complete fools of themselves in front of the electorate. They're not going to convince anybody who likes Donald Trump to not like Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. But what they are doing, and what we need to keep repeating, Doug, is they're motivating the base of support for Donald Trump. Men and women, conservative people, conservative Christians, conservative atheists, conservative homosexuals, to actually register to vote and plan on voting the first Tuesday in November. That's what they're doing. And I don't know if they're smart enough to realize that or not, and I don't care, because they're motivating Trump's base to actually do things such as actually register and actually vote, which many conservatives don't bother to do, especially evangelicals, who you might think might be motivated, but they're motivating the base, and that's a good thing. In fact, I want them to keep up, because everybody keeps hearing Trump, Trump, Trump on all the TV stations, radio, and everywhere. And that's what any politician wants, is name recognition. And he's getting tremendous name recognition out of this. He's done nothing wrong. Senator Cruz is keep pointing this out. He's done nothing wrong, let alone any impeachable offense. So the next round after this explodes, which it will explode in the next few weeks, will be challenging the mental health of this president.
Ooh.
They're already laying groundwork for it. Oh, that's what's coming, Doug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we haven't heard that in a while. So the invocation of the 25th Amendment? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's coming. They're already laying the groundwork for it. If you dig under a couple of layers, you'll find interviews being given by psychological professionals who've never been in the same room with this man, let alone do a professional evaluation, giving their professional psychological opinion of Donald Trump's mental health. That's what's coming next, Doug, and that will be a bit more serious, but it's still going to lose. And they're going to continue this until the first Tuesday in November.
But you think this is all working to the benefit of Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
I tend to agree with you on that, which to me, John, you know, there are situations in my life, and I'm sure in yours too, where you ask yourself, let's say it's an investigation, or let's say it's a personal, whatever it might be. And you kind of go through a mental debriefing, thinking to yourself, okay, how did I really think this was going to play out? You know, when you go over the events and in your actions and your, whatever you decide to do or not to do. So I guess my question to you is, if this is going to turn out so badly for the left, don't you think that they're going to resort to something really bad?
Well, that's what's being prognosticated by a number of men that you and I know, like Steve Quayle, for example, that it will go, that plan B ultimately would be civil disorder, violence. I refer to our opposition as the Socialists, Communists, Democrats, Muslims, because that is the coalition. Socialists, Communists, Democrats, Muslims. That's who we're up against. And at the core, of course, the leadership level, at the command and control level, is the Russian Politburo and the Chinese Politburo. I'm absolutely convinced of that. The Chinese, of course, murdered 50 million of their own people to accomplish their goals. You want to see how they'll treat us? Look what they did to people who are very ethnically identical, the Tibetans. They invaded Tibet 70 years ago. And the way they treated Tibetans, who are ethnically very similar to Chinese, is a good example of how they treat people when they take over the country.
Wow. You know, I'm concerned, obviously, that this is going to happen here. Mike Adams did a recent piece. In fact, your open source intelligence from last week has some really interesting stories, open source articles. Folks, go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. And if you scroll down on the right-hand side, there's open source. I want to get this right, the latest intelligence from open sources. And you make some, you selected some pretty interesting pieces.
Well, I can't take credit for that, Doug. A very dear friend of mine, I met him on doing a homicide investigation. He's a former counterintelligence agent.
Okay.
And he's got a PhD, very bright guy, a former U.S. Counterintelligence agent. He puts this together every day. It's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tremendous amount of work to do every day. He was reaching out to some of his friends, maybe a short mailing list of maybe 24 people. And I approached him. I said, why don't we reach 10,000 people a day instead of 20 a day? And his eyes lit up, and he thought, well, that's a great idea, John. So He wants to remain anonymous, so he is anonymous, but we have lunch. It's a typical adult male relationship. We may get together for lunch maybe every 6 months or 12 months and get caught up on what's going on with children and grandchildren and so forth.
Sure.
But his work is phenomenal, and it's fresh and refreshed every day. So
right.
Dozens of articles from all over the planet.
Well, you know, last week you had talked about, or in this open source intelligence, about the threat level being high. And, you know, we see, of course, or we saw last week the Saudi, the 21-year-old Saudi national at Pensacola. Man, you know, seriously, what the hell? And I mean this, why are we... why are we dragging these Saudi nationals over and training them? And, then this happens, you know, what do we expect? I guess in a sense, you know, old Mo there, this 21-year-old Saudi national opened fire to Pensacola, folks, in case you didn't see it. Well, yeah, I'm sure you did. And they're looking for what, maybe
they're
7 to 10 others.
They've arrested 10 Saudi nationals and they're looking for several more. The FBI.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll catch up with those guys. Well, the easy question to answer there is, why are we doing this? We bring our allies over here to train them, and we've been doing that for decades, Doug. I was when I was in military intelligence school I was 19 when I was in military intelligence school. I turned 20 a month after I graduated. I had a job with the Army. Before my class started to become an intelligence analyst, I was working in the bookstore. And one of my jobs was to make name tags for all these foreign nationals coming in, who sometimes a name tag was barely long enough to contain all the letters. But
yeah, I want to buy a vowel, please. Okay.
But that was 52 years ago. So this is nothing new, bringing in foreign nationals for training in the United States and all the different schools that we offer it. One thing about bringing the people here from the Muslim world, however, is the issue of finding men with a high enough IQ to fly F-15s. You've heard of inbreeding, where people marry their first cousins. I assume you've heard of that.
In fact, I know some people like that.
Well, Muslims do this. It's part of the religion. Muhammad encouraged, it's in the Quran. Or as Hussein Obama would say, the Holy Quran, which I don't, that people should marry their first cousins. Well, you do that one generation, Doug, there's a dramatic increase in the percentage chance of insanity, low IQ, and birth defects. That's one generation. Do it for 1,000 years and see what happens. Your DNA is broken and can't be fixed. Now, the king of Jordan is a direct lineage descendant of Muhammad. Direct lineage descendant of Muhammad.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And they don't, him and his father before him, they don't marry Muslims. They marry Caucasians from, like, America or some other place. They know better than to marry their first cousins. But it's easily looked up in the modern age, the percentage of people in the Muslim countries that are inbred on the low end. It runs 40-45%. On the high end, which is Pakistan, it's running 70-75% or inbred. And that means that people are marrying their cousins. Average Muslim IQ runs 70-75, which means there's as many with a 50 IQ as there is with a 90 IQ, Doug. And here's friends of mine that are associated with F-15s. They say the following in Saudi Arabia. When the instructor goes there to Saudi Arabia to teach the young men who fly F-15s, on Tuesday morning, they have to teach them everything they taught them on Monday morning. And they pick the smartest guys they can find, and they're still difficult because they're running 100-105 IQ, which is average. But American pilots don't get to sit on an F-15 unless they got 120 IQ. And most people don't know what IQ measures, Doug. They simply don't. Then people say some response like, how smart you are.
Let's visit that, if you don't mind. Because there are people, and I know people are going to mistake this IQ for something it's not. So if you don't mind.
Well, first of all, it's a timed test. It's a timed test for a reason. They're not testing what you know. That can't be done. What they're testing is how fast your brain works.
There you go.
That's all an IQ test is. It's testing how fast your brain works. So you got three boxes that are cut open flat, and you got to figure out which one would be the box if it was all put back together. And they do that many times. Now, anybody can figure that out. It just takes some people a lot longer than others. And the higher your IQ is, the faster your brain works, the faster you can figure out how to put the box back together in the right configuration with the three examples that you've got. That's just one thing they do in an IQ test. You've seen that, haven't you?
Sure. Though? Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to, again, the distinction is important. It's how fast your brain works. And that's the measurement as opposed to how smart or how much you know.
That can't be measured.
Right. Right.
Now you can get into a very narrow range of measurement. Say you want to pass a bar examination. That's a very narrow range of what a person knows. Very narrow. That is highly specialized. Yeah, you can measure that. But in terms of measuring overall what a person knows, that can't be done.
Hmm. Which, and again, this makes sense. So, okay, applying that to what we're doing.
Let me help you out.
Yeah, please.
Let's go to the.
My brain's not working fast. Because I only have like a, because I'm, my, never mind. I was going to make a joke. My brain's not working. Go ahead.
Go to the topic of suicide vests and suicide bombers. It's a lot easier to convince a man or a woman, if they have a 50 or 55 IQ, to blow themselves up. It really is. And easy to convince them. You'll tell them that they're instantly in heaven with 72 virgins. The women, I'll tell you what the women get in a moment here. That's kind of fascinating. It took me a while to find that out. And their families are taken care of financially the rest of their lives. And that's the promise made to the suicide bombers, unless they're just outright threatened. Well, sometimes they just threaten to kill their family members if they don't do it. But typically, it's a reward situation where they make it sound really good for the person to blow themselves up to help out Allah. When you die waging jihad, you're instantly, the moment you pass over from death, you're instantly in the Muslim heaven with 72 virgins. Do you know who the 72 virgins are, Doug? Would you like to know? Well, it goes back to Muhammad. Muhammad's favorite wife, he married when she was 7 years old, but being the upstanding man that he was, he did not consummate the marriage until she was 9 years old.
Oh, man, that's a relief. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's, you got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But the 72 virgins are 9 years old. They never get older. They never urinate. They never defecate. They never get pregnant. And at the conclusion of each sexual act for eternity, they revert back to being a virgin.
Wow.
That's the 72 virgins. Now, you may ask, and it took me a while of study and interviews to find out what happens to the women when they die waging jihad. What do they get?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Okay.
They get to be one of the 9-year-old virgins forever. You can't make this stuff up, Doug. You really can't.
You're being serious now, right?
Oh, absolutely serious. Now, there was a military coup in Egypt a few years ago. Those officers, those high-ranking officers, they all spent a lot of time in America and on these various exchange programs. And the oldest, most respected Muslim university on the planet is in Cairo. That's where it is. And the military coup leaders ordered the Muslim university to stop teaching that cannibalism is okay and needs to be practiced.
Wow. Okay, so somebody wised up there. Was that the same university that Obama spoke at? His apology?
He spoke in a lot of places, and he, I don't know specifically if he spoke with one.
That's fine. Because, yeah, the he started off his apology tour at the University of Cairo, I believe it was, his first.
It most likely was, but yeah. I don't know specifically.
Okay.
Well, there were one of these imams, he came up with something else that the Muslim men really like. And it's called farewell sex. And that's having sex with your departed wife And that's one of the things that Muslims get to do, and one of the things they practice is having sex with their recently departed wives. Now, there is a time limit on it. I'm not sure how long they get to have sex with their departed wife, but that's part of Islam also, is having sex with their departed wife.
No, okay. I don't know what this means, but Eric the Tech's over there taking notes. Okay.
Well, let's go down a little farther. A friend of mine built million-dollar homes in Metro Chicago, what they call Chicagoland up there. Okay, he was a contractor. And he built several for Muslims that could afford million-dollar homes. So he's sitting at the table with the architect, and he's going over the five or six bedrooms, all the nice amenities and so forth, and the five or six bathrooms. And he points out a mistake to the architect. Mr. Architect, there's no toilet paper holders in any of these bathrooms. The architect says, that's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. Doug, they use their left hand and plain water. But at the conclusion of that procedure of their left hand and plain water, they do not use warm soapy water to clean their hands with, because Muhammad did not use soap. Now, about a 45-minute drive from me is University of Missouri Science and Technology, a world-class university of engineering. In fact, it's the only place on the planet where you can get a PhD in explosives. Because I live so close, I get to meet a lot of the students. Most of them are men. And they tell me the following: John, if there's a Muslim in our class, we sit as far away from that person as we can. As far away as we can. I said, why is that? And they said, well, they stink. These men have never used soap in their life for any purpose. Never used soap in their life for any purpose. Because Muhammad didn't use soap. They don't use soap. And what Muslims want to do is duplicate the life of Muhammad. That's what the Hadith is all about. There's a Quran and the Hadith. The Quran is what Muhammad dictated to people who were literate because he was illiterate. And the Hadith is other people writing about the life of Muhammad, which is about a million words, I've been told. And if they have the money, most of them do, they load up on a lot of expensive cologne, these men that have never used soap in their life.
Okay.
Doug, if you walk into a restaurant and you see that Muslims are present and working in any capacity in a restaurant, just politely leave.
Yeah. I got to tell you, John, Right Wing Watch is going to have a field day with this segment. That's for sure. All right.
Well, here's what they're going to do. There's an old saying, if you can't attack the message, you attack the messenger.
Yep.
And they'll be attacking me personally, but they won't be attacking the messenger, because the message stands up to scrutiny. The message is accurate. The message is correct and very accurately portrays what these people do and how they live.
You know, John, all of this, you go back to 65 and Ted Kennedy and Johnson, the opening our borders to all of this third world period, third world stuff. My goodness, we're seeing the results of that today. Multi generations of our system is dependent on these right now, people under 30 really. To really screw up our way of life. And I mean, great job of pointing this cultural difference out. But
Doug, these people, these Muslims have no intention of becoming Americans in the sense that we normally think of it. None whatsoever. We are infidels. They do not intend to adopt Western standards of hygiene. That's not going to happen. They intend to marry as many women as they want. That will continue.
Yep.
They intend to, and already are, continuing to do female genital mutilation.
Oh, yeah.
They have no intention of becoming Americans, and they do, and we're already starting to see signs that they want Sharia law to be practiced in their enclaves. That's simply not acceptable.
No, no, it's not. And we're seeing this like Dearborn and, of course, Minneapolis and a lot of other places. This is not going to end well. And you know, it doesn't make sense. John, although you and I really haven't talked about this after 9/11, none of this makes any sense. If we are to put the onus of, in the blame of 9/11 onto, Muslim terrorist attack, then none of this makes sense. I mean,
they were there.
Yeah.
They were there, but at what happened on the 11th day of September 2001, it was a lot bigger than those 19
sure.
Saudis.
I'm with you. Believe me, brother, I'm with you there. I understand. But okay, even if we're to blame them or to name them as facilitators or co-conspirators in this or whatever.
They didn't know what they were part of.
Okay.
This was compartmentalized. This was compartmentalized. They thought they were acting on their own, and they were going to be in their, in their heaven with 72 virgins. They had no idea what they were part of.
Okay.
People were saying airplanes didn't hit the Twin Towers. Of course, airplanes hit the Twin Towers. It was probably a rocket that hit the Pentagon. No, that was no airplane. And I don't want to dwell on that too much longer, but I was talking to a man who was congressman at the time, just weeks, and he was a graduate engineer, by the way, after 9/11/01. And I was pointing out Building 7 to him, and I said, no airplane hit Building 7. There was a couple of fires that your local Eagle Scouts could put out with fire extinguishers. Didn't even need the fire department. And Building 7 came down in its foundation, despite not being hit by an airplane, having very minor fires they were minor. They didn't mount to anything. And that's the evidence that people need to be focused on. Plus, we've got more than, I think, is it more than 2,000 certified engineers who have joined together saying what was claimed to happen on 9/11/01 could not happen. It violates the laws of physics.
Yeah, architects and engineers, for truth.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, okay, but this latest example of the Pensacola shooting, it just really boggles my mind that we still have, and I know what you said about the mutual training, I get that, but seriously, we've got to.
Well, during Vietnam, we had Viet Cong here being trained to be helicopter pilots. That happened several times, and they were very carefully vetted before they came here. So these things happen. We've had Afghan trainees just disappear into our country. They're just gone.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe they like air conditioning and flush toilets. I don't know. But
yeah. I appeared on a segment of with Michael Savage back, I think this is now 7-8 years ago, when there was half a dozen Egyptians that came over, and they just disappeared in the country, and they were terrorists.
Right.
And it's just, it's just amazing to me what's taking place even today. So, I didn't mean to go off on such a tangent, but folks, go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Don't look for it at YouTube, HagmanReportLive.com, and, listen to John Moore's show. And there it is right there on the screen. You can, it's as easy as one mouse click or one push of the, your smartphone screen right there.
Encourage, Doug, they need to put the libertyman.com in their browser, because if they use the search engine, they'll end up with one of my several hundred YouTubes or large
okay. Or low. And that's a good point. So put thelibertyman.com in the browser. So, okay. That's a good point. And again, we'll have the link to that. But again, I didn't mean push you in a direction that we didn't have to go, but I find your open source intelligence to be important. I think it's spot on, and it's ahead of the curve. America from Friday, current threat level high, and then bam, we see this, the Pensacola shooting. So anyway.
Well, I got an update for you. You won't find an open source intelligence. I got a call from my friend Paul Martin, who's on with Doug Dave Hodges a lot.
Right.
Paul's an Oklahoma cowboy living in Colorado. And he says, Alex Jones has had Larry Nichols on. Now, Nichols was a high-level operative in the Clinton administration. So he knows some stuff.
Yeah, I've had him on.
Yeah, and Nichols said Friday on the Alex Jones show that there's 250,000 United Nations troops in Cuba. So I said to Paul, I want to go public with that, but let's get some independent confirmation. So Paul calls up Hodges and he gets some independent confirmation. Most likely they're third world soldiers because they work cheap. Right. Probably guys from Pakistan or Sri Lanka or some other place like that. But that's an invasion force, Doug. Clearly, that's an invasion force.
Wouldn't the island tip over? Wouldn't Cuba tip over? I'm joking.
Making fun of that congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
Giving testimony about Guam.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to congratulate the man giving testimony. He managed to keep a straight face.
I know.
Let's back up. People don't know what we're talking about. There was a congressional hearing, and it had to do with building infrastructure on Guam, which is a U.S. territory. And the speaker was questioned by a congressman who, very seriously, he was not joking, expressed his concern that if too many structures were built on Guam, that Guam might tip over.
that was Hank Johnson.
That's pretty extraordinary.
You know, that was amazing. By the way, that was Hank Johnson, Representative Hank Johnson. And I can't remember the year, but let me look here. I think it was back in 2010. And he was dead serious. But he was. You can't make this stuff up, man.
No, you can't. Now, I could see a guy at the local sheltered workshop where people with a 65 IQ are supervised to pack goods for shipping with, styrofoam peanuts. I could see one of those sheltered workshop people asking a question like that, but not a U.S. congressman.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
But a quarter of a – so wait a minute. The point here, 250,000 foreign troops in Cuba?
United Nations troops in Cuba. One of the things Hodges mentions is an executive order signed by Obama entering us into a treaty, and I'm not sure how it's lawful without it being passed by the U.S. Senate. But apparently some agreement with the United Nations that and I don't recall the specific name, some kind of protocols that if there's internal trouble in one of the signatories, that the United Nations can independently intervene without asking permission of the country in question with armed force. And I apologize for not recalling the name of the protocols, but that's one of the things that Hodges talks about a lot. And I've prognosticated for years that the United Nations would be invited in, and California comes to mind with what's going on out there with the Cal exit and the governor and the silliness going on at the state legislature in California. I could see civil disorder getting to the point where the governor would ask for United Nations troops to come in and restore peace. I can easily see that happening, Doug.
Okay. Now, let me ask this question. You tossed out the number of 250,000. Now, if you do open source research, UN peacekeepers, okay, you're looking at a force much smaller than that. You're looking at probably, half that, according to open source information. Is that right, or are we – in other words – back in 2015, supposedly, there were a total of about 105,000 UN peacekeeping personnel.
Right.
So, and 92,000 were actual troops. And then you had like 13,000 police and stuff.
Well, any group like this is going to be mostly support people anyway.
Okay.
That's the nature of modern warfare. I know in Vietnam, 9 out of 10 people in Vietnam were support personnel, 10% were combat troops.
Okay.
So in this scenario, with 250,000, typically with these third world outfits and the United Nations, they don't have the huge percentage of support troops that the American military does, but it's still going to be a high percentage. It's just the nature of warfare is to have a high percentage of people be support people.
Okay. So is this – so in talking about the force, this invasion-level force in Cuba that you referenced, is this new? And how did we not know about this or did the government, well, Nichols, the government
just, Nichols just went Larry Nichols just went public with this Friday, so it's only 4 days ago.
Okay. Okay. But wouldn't we have surveillance? You're moving that many people.
Talks about what our U.S. military knows aren't necessary, and what the U.S. military is willing to release. That's two different things.
Okay.
Of course, we got satellite surveillance, and I would hope that between the NSA and CIA and various military sources, they already knew about the 250,000 troops being there. That would be my assumption. It'd be hard to conceal that many men moving into a country. It'd be very difficult.
So what's the prognosis here, or the speculation as to what's taking place? I mean, what do you think?
I think it's built up. They're ready to complete the takeover of this country. There was a meeting in May here in Chicago with the leaders of most of the countries south of our border. Well, we believe, those of us who are aware of it, we believe they were deciding how to split up the country once the invasion was over. The meeting was secret. The State Department was not involved. They came across our border in big luxury motor coaches, our southern border, went to Chicago, had a meeting, and went home. All the pieces look like they're being put in place, Doug, for a military coup in this country, in my opinion.
Okay, a military coup. Now, if you can, folks, John Moore is my guest, of course, every Monday. Incredible detective, incredible investigator. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. Put it in your browser. Also, the link is in the program description below. But walk me through this. A military takeover. So that means that
it will be complete chaos. It will appear to begin, well, let's just pick a date, after the first Tuesday in November 2020.
All right.
The Democrats, they know they're going to lose, of course. That's the most likely time for it to begin, although precursors could certainly happen before then. It will appear to be in the mass media. The major television networks will report it as spontaneous outbursts of people emotional about the president being reelected. That's how it'll be characterized.
Hmm.
But it won't be, of course. These will be men and women trained and paid for by George Soros.
Sure.
And that will be the beginning point. So we've got the MS-13 gangs. We've got Russian Spetsnaz here. We've got Chinese operatives here, all of which will shortly thereafter go into action to accomplish their goal of causing maximum chaos, civil disorder, civil war. I'm not sure the word civil war really applies, but that's the term being thrown around, because we're kind of at a loss as to really what to call it. There's not going to be enemy combatants with uniforms and flags on two sides. That's not going to happen. It's going to be chaotic. It'll be complete chaos, Doug, if it happens, and I hope and pray it does not happen.
Why, me too. If you don't mind, because this is a lot. I mean, this is on a lot of people's minds, especially with what's taking place today with the, you know, Nadler, of course, the committees within the House going through this impeachment inquisition to overturn the will of the American people from the 2016 elections. That's what this is all about. So there's a lot of discussion about civil discord, civil uprisings. And, you know, even like I said, even today, Owen Schroyer interrupted proceedings saying, you're the to Nadler, you're overturning the will of the American people. So I'm kind of, I don't know if we have any way to really look at what we think is going to happen, but you laid it out where, okay, so the left become more apoplectic than they were in 2016. And they're screaming, instead of screaming at the sky, now they're throwing rocks, you know, at buildings or something. And that's what you're saying.
Well, my Monday guest every Monday, Sam Andrews, he was a tactical commander on the ground in Ferguson.
Right.
With in command of the Oath Keepers.
Yep.
He interviewed some of the rioters. And it was either friendly, non-confrontational interviews with some of the rioters. And one of them showed him the paycheck stub from George Soros. and described how they were trained to fabricate incendiary devices that they could throw on their, these flat roofs of these commercial buildings. Most commercial buildings around here have flat roofs, which are tar paper, and set them on fire. There's nothing spontaneous at all about what happened in Ferguson. The local newspaper, which surprised me, and local TV affiliates, they started reporting about the second day or third day the hometowns of the people being arrested. None were from Ferguson and almost none from Missouri. They were all from Chicago, Detroit, other places. Another friend of mine, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, was a, he had two careers, an Army Sergeant Major with Special Forces and the St. Louis County Police Department. He was in Ferguson while the body was still on the ground. So did not go home for a week or more. And he said, John, you know, he talks to guys in police intelligence. He said, John, within 2 to 3 hours of Michael Brown being shot, there were convoys of protesters leaving Chicago and leaving Detroit for St. Louis. And that shows a level of organization, discipline, logistics that a government agency would be tough to duplicate. Seriously, it would be very tough to duplicate, but it's a very high level of organization, training, and logistics to have convoys of people with no prior notice on the road and moving towards St. Louis within 3 hours of the shooting taking place. That's the level of organization we're dealing with here. They got very sophisticated command and control. They may look like a bunch of disheveled protesters who don't know what they're doing. Don't fool yourself, Doug. Don't underestimate these people. They are trained. They're disciplined. They have a chain of command. They have communications. They have equipment. They have money.
Right.
And that's what we're up against.
And you know, we've talked about this before, but I don't think that we could, I don't think we could ever wear this topic out because, we're looking at a force within our country that's highly organized. They're communists in my view, but they're.
Well, they are. It's not just you. That's not an opinion. They okay. are communists.
All right.
Many of the people belong to these things are called useful idiots. And they may not even know they're working with communists.
Right.
But when you get to command and control, of course, they're communists.
So why can't we duplicate, or why can't you and I or the Patriots duplicate or have our own level of response to events like Ferguson? And I know you're intimately, you know, by location and by research and investigation, intimately intertwined with Ferguson and the results, you know, from that or the your investigative findings from that. But why can't we have that? Why can't we respond like that? We as American patriots.
Well, we'd have to duplicate what George Soros has done. It takes, first of all, money. It takes a lot of discipline and organization and will to do this. What Soros has put together didn't happen overnight. It took years to put together what he's got with a lot of money behind it. Given sufficient financial wherewithal, yeah, we probably could. Do we have the time? No, we don't have the time.
We're working.
It's going to come down to your listeners and my listeners preparing to take care of the people that they love, protect innocent life, protect property. That's what it's going to come down to, Doug.
And you saw that, too, in Ferguson, where you, correct me
well,
if
the
I'm wrong.
Well, this is an organization that has training and discipline, a chain of command. And because of the training and discipline and chain of command, they were able to get people there to protect innocent life and property. Mm-hmm. And that's strange. You know, Oath Keepers is a volunteer organization.
Yep.
Nobody got a penny for being there as opposed to the Soros-paid protesters. And that's that little thing that my friend Sam Andrews did with the Oath Keepers, that strained the resources of the Oath Keepers to the breaking point because they don't have deep pockets. It's all volunteer. And, you know, getting men and women to leave whatever their day job is and drive hours, if not days, to a place like Ferguson to defend life and property, it's not an easy thing. But they did the right thing for the right reasons, and not a single property protected by the Oath Keepers had any damage to it, Doug.
Mm. That's Okay, that's amazing. By the way, Stuart Rhodes is a friend of the program, friend of mine. I've spent time with him, and of course he's
there. I have also. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And folks, we need to back oath keepers in organizations like that. But, you know, when it comes to, okay, so let's apply oath keepers to the scenario that you referenced about, hey, you know, maybe after the election, you know, things go bad. There's a military takeover, however you want to call it, whatever you want to say. How are they going to fare? Like oath keepers?
Oath keepers, you know, these are men and women spread out around the country. They don't have, you know, in any given city, there might be, a lot of the people in Oath Keepers are not capable of being deployed tactically. They simply can't be, even though they're maybe police veterans or military veterans, they simply can't do that. So the raw numbers of Oath Keepers compared to the numbers of Oath Keepers who can be deployed in a tactical situation is dramatically different. I can't predict what the Oath Keepers will do, but they'll do whatever they're capable of. And each chapter will do what they can, and it's most likely going to be protecting their own families. That's what their main focus should be, is protecting their own families.
Man, I'll tell you something. I don't know when we.
Doug, let me give you a heads up. I'm aware, and I won't mention who because I need to maintain confidentiality. I'm aware of officials, elected and appointed officials, who are right now, as we speak, on the 9th day of December, are making plans to safeguard and remove vital records from county courthouses, which would be real estate records, marriage records, court records. Remove all those records to a safe location. That's being done right now. That's how serious this is. When you get people at that level, at the county level, making these kind of precautions, that means that people in these places are taking it seriously and they're doing the right thing for the right reasons. These records have mostly been duplicated in electronic format, so the hard copy paper can remain in the courthouse and the electronic versions can fit in a cigar box, basically, and hopefully be taken to duplicated at least twice, maybe three times, and taken to at least 2 to 3 remote locations where they'll be safe for what's coming.
Wow, but that's sobering to hear. At least when I look at this, that hey, you know, plans are being made. So, okay, we're headed for something, obviously. And I can feel it, brother. I can feel it. And I know
this may have happened during World War II. Of course, they didn't have electronic storage mediums, right. But I would suspect that in World War II, courthouses on the East Coast and the West Coast had contingency plans to evacuate the courthouse records if there was an invasion in California, Oregon, Washington State, or any East Coast or Gulf Coast location. So that those county records could be preserved in a safe location if necessary. If I was in charge in any of those areas like Los Angeles, for example, that's what I would have done in 1941. I would have made provisions to have evacuate critical records.
Right.
And I can't say that it happened. It should have happened, but I'm not aware of any need for that happening. Maybe even during the Cold War. But it is happening now.
Well, you know, you had over our times together, we had talked about this. We had talked about, of course, you know, from World War II to the Cold War, when everyone was ducking and covering under their desks because of nuclear annihilation prospects, and now we have actually invited the enemy within. The enemy's working within our country, and they want to take, and you've said this before, they want to take us without hurting our property. They want to take us over, you know.
Well, without hurting critical infrastructure.
There it is, yeah. And we better pay attention to that.
I don't know if you've had Dr. Peter Pryor on your show, but he was one of the guys on the EMP commission to study the effects of EMP. I no longer share his concern of nationwide EMP as a primary weapon. It would, I now believe, nationwide EMP would only be used if our enemies thought they were going to be defeated, because that's not what they want. They don't want the United States or America with oil refineries that don't work, power plants that don't work, locks and dams, airports, railroads that don't work. They want everything to function so they can use it for their own purposes. If they do use it at all, it will most likely be in a tactical sense to take out command and control at our military bases, the Pentagon, and so forth, leaving everything else intact. And I think that's a more likely scenario. It puts us in the same place and actually makes us a little bit better off because all our stuff would still work. But, that's my analysis for the time being. And I doubt that's going to change, Doug.
And the more I look at this, I believe the tactical EMP approach is probably the most likely because, again, as you say, they want functioning infrastructure. But.
And hacking.
Yes.
Shut down an awful lot of stuff with computers and no permanent harm done to anything that they want. Absolutely.
You know, and that brings me to in fact, there was a standing question from a listener from last week, wanting your assessment of the, segues nicely, of the cyber threat, specifically from Communist China. Any thoughts on, with respect to the economy and the dollar and the, or the banking system?
The Communist Chinese have hundreds of well-trained hackers with the most sophisticated computers that money can buy. And they're constantly practicing, they're constantly probing. And when the time is right, they will put their skills to use. They can shut down any part or all of the power grid. They can shut down telecommunications. They can shut down anything connected to the internet that they choose to, or make it go sideways and do something it's not meant to do. So that's a clear and present danger. The Chinese believe in what's called asymmetric warfare.
Right.
It's not going to be just tanks and bombers. It's going to be every kind of warfare you can imagine all at once, probably 20 different kinds of warfare.
Mm. You know, you make a good point, and I've heard this from listeners who listen to us talk on Mondays. They're so glad that you point out the dangers of Russia and China. Because many people think, oh, Russia, they're friends of ours. Well, you know, it's kind of like a wrestling match to see who's going to be on top, with Russia and the United States. And of course, toss in China as well. But, what should we be watching out? Because we only have a few minutes left here. John, what should we be watching for in from now until the time we speak next on air?
Well, I would, anytime there's a couple of Muslim attacks in close proximity, I look for more to happen. At some point, these Muslim attacks will become a daily occurrence. And so I would look at it as a precursor to get this whole thing started. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
The Pacific Northwest is unrelated to nation states, but the Cascadia Mountains, which are really volcanoes, and the subduction zone off the coast of Oregon and Washington, that's a very dangerous area, and a big chunk of our economy is up there in Seattle, Metro Seattle. So we need to keep an eye on that. If it starts to go, that's going to hurt our economy tremendously, which would be one thing they can't blame on President Trump, by the way.
I'm sure they'll find a way.
Yeah, his tweets made the volcanoes go off.
Yeah.
That's the two things I'd be looking at. I would also, we mentioned earlier in the show, start hearing an article, a story here and there, challenging the president's mental health. I expect to see more stories on that.
Oh, man. Of course. You know, they're not going to be successful with that, do you think?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. That's not going to stand up to scrutiny, but it'll make noise and it will be a distraction from other things. They don't have it. There's nothing they can run on. No presidential candidate can run on from the Democratic Party. There's no platform. Donald Trump is accomplishing everything he set out to with international relations, the economy,
right,
and the rest of it. Employment's never been better.
Yeah, I saw the numbers last week.
Yeah, they've got nothing except promising free stuff. Even Hillary Clinton's making fun of that.
Yeah, I saw her latest here in the 2 minutes we've got left. John, your thoughts as to who the contender will be on the left side for the 2020 election?
The two most likely look like Hillary and Biden to me. President will chew them up and spit them out, no matter who it is. He held back on Hillary. I think he was being polite, but he won't hold back this time. He's going to let her have both barrels. Biden can't give a speech without making a fool of himself. Sanders, he has no business running for president. He's got a severe heart condition. Right. The rest of them, Elizabeth Warren, she's a joke. I don't know who could step up to the plate. And that decision needs to be made in the next 90 days is really pushing it. The next 60 days, they need to know who their candidate is.
They do. And even now, I'm kind of looking at this and thinking, you know, who's going to come out and it concerns me the longer this goes on. John, we're at the end of the program. By the way, your cruise still on, right? Your cruise?
It is.
All right.
I leave 2 months from today.
The Love Boat. No, that's the wrong.
That's up to you and your wife. It's a Love Boat for you too. God bless you. Valentine's Day will be right in the middle of the cruise.
That's right. So, folks, if you want to know what we're talking about, my goodness, go to thelibertyman.com, right? And then where do we find it?
Just scroll down the left side there at thelibertyman.com, and you'll see the details on the John right there on the left.
Yep.
The first thing comes to the John Moore Patriot Symposium Cruise.
That, and of course, you can also see John's 1969 TR6. Man, you are the man, I got to tell you.
In addition, Paul Newman raced one to victory. And not the one I've got, but he raced one to victory. It's a real macho car. What can you say? No power steering, no power brakes. Everything's manual. Wind in the face. Oh yeah, it's a blast.
I have to say this. I love old cars, and that to me, that's a great car.
I will be in competition with this car, by the way.
You will?
Oh yes, it's called Autocross. You take a 20-acre parking lot, you set up a course with rubber paint pylons, and you drive one car at a time just as fast as you can, which typically you don't get above 30, 35 miles an hour. But then in the Monaco Grand Prix, there's times when they're going 30 miles an hour because the turns are so tight.
I love it. TheLibertyMan.com, folks. John Moore, God bless you. Thank you for taking time out of your Monday.
It's fun, Doug. I look forward to it every Monday.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I've been getting a lot of great emails. I should forward some to you. Thank you so very much, John. Talk to you soon. Talk at the top of the hour break. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Thank you so much for joining me today. The IG report. Yep. The impeachment inquisition. Yep. Check, check, check. You're not going to want to miss this hour. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, in my view. I'm going to tell you how this is going to play out. When I say what this is going to play out, I'm talking about everything that we're seeing today. You ready for this? And okay. At 1:14, I think it was this morning, I uploaded a video to our Patreon account. Okay, so if you're a Patreon member, you should have got an email, a notice, or a smoke signal, whatever they do. And I explained this, at least in the in advance of the release of the IG report today. Last night I explained this, but there was some news in there, okay, in that segment. And I want to tell you about this. By the way, folks, tomorrow, Standale will not be on the show tomorrow. He's not feeling too well. He's doctoring and such. So I'd ask that you keep him in your prayers. So tomorrow, in place of Standale, Steve Quayle is coming. And Daniel Holdings. Now, Daniel Holdings is an author, and I just want to get this out of the way to let you know. He's written a book. I think I'm allowed to say this, right? I guess. He's written a book. Steve Quayle, he sat down with Steve Quayle for interviews, plural, a lot of them. And Daniel Holdings asked Steve Quayle questions, and Steve answered them, and kind of like a 60 minutes interview. And the book is, Dana Holdings is writing the book. But anyway, Steve's coming on tomorrow to talk about current events and such. So, keep Standale in your prayers. He's fine. I talked to him. I talked to him earlier today. When I say he's fine, but just keep him in your prayers because it's tough, you know, it's tough when you get old and you're ailing and such. But okay, I'm going to lay this out for you. I'm going to tell you the difference between this hopium. Again, I don't know what other word to use. This false sense that things are going to change dramatically. That's not to say they're not going to change. That's not to say some people aren't going to feel the real world hurt of law and order come down on them. But I don't think people understand how deep and how mired the DC swamp, the power swamp is. Okay. Now tomorrow, or separate from the programming, perhaps, I'm going to be speaking and writing about the released IG report. Okay. Because you get enough people yammering about it right now. I'm just going to just hold that thought. This will play into it. In a sense, but we've got impeachment taking place right now. Let me correct that. We don't have impeachment taking place. What am I saying? We have a coup taking place. The political weaponization, or the weaponization of our political process, of our intelligence communities, and the hatred, the visceral hatred of President Donald J. Trump, the visceral hatred because he does not represent the status quo of Washington, D.C., and the fact that he represents a speed bump, a wall, a tax strip on the road to this global governance. Pelosi, the elites, the left, Silicon Valley, they're all hacked off because, hey, this is an interruption into their plans. So you've got this, we're going to impeach Nancy Pelosi. You made me do it. Oh, you made me do it. But it's really not an impeachment because an impeachment consists of the full House of Representatives. This is impeachment by committee. I don't, frankly, I'm not sure we've ever been here before. The House Intelligence Committee, of course, ran the first series of hearings. Now we're in day two of the House Judiciary Committee under the garden gnome Nadler. But to what end? To what end, I ask? Well, it's going to go to the Senate, right? Because you know it's going to pass in the House. Am I right? You know it's going to pass in the House. So it's going to be moved to the Senate. But I want to tell you something about this. I want to tell you something about this. It's not going to work the way you think it's going to work. And again, I did a video on this yesterday, last night, or this morning, actually. Uploaded it to our Patreon channel. And I'm going to be doing more of those for those who support the Hagmann Report. And that's not to the exclusion of those who use PayPal or those who send in checks. I'll figure something out. But you really need to know about how this is going to play out, because I think people are going to be surprised. Before I get into that, two things. Well, one thing, HagmannStore.com. Let me just tell you, HagmannStore.com. HagmannStore.com. You drink coffee? Good. I'll tell you what. Here, look at this. Here is a 1 pound bag of Detective's Choice coffee. This is my go-to coffee. It's got about twice the amount of caffeine a normal coffee does. This I'll tell you what. Our stories on HagmannReport.com or should be sometime soon. But the fact is this: we hooked up with a roaster. He is like the artist of coffee. He's one of the finest roasters, I think, on the planet. And our goal is to get this into your hands, have it roasted in small batches, get it in your hands within like 96 hours. I mean, it's just, you know, get it to you. And boy, is it good. HagmannStore.com.
And we're working on shipping to other countries.
We are working on shipping to other countries?
Yes. At least Canada to start.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech chiming in there. We don't have that. We don't have that out yet, or the other country thing perfected yet. We will. All right. We will. Honest, we will. Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate that notice. You know, it's I've been getting a lot of reports in, especially from police officers, and this is because I kind of builded for this. I kind of advertised it for, the Detective's Choice, of course. But I got a couple of pretty good reviews on the coffee taste. So a hint of cherry blossom, hint of sweet cocoa. Oh, it's good. Plus twice the caffeine. Anyway. Also, for all my pet-loving listeners, you're going to love this. You know how much I've raved about Whole Tones, right? I had Michael Terrell on last week, I think it was. And I've raved about Whole Tones frequency-based music to help my wife with her insomnia, and that works. We've received a ton of testimonies from listeners telling us how much they've been sleeping better. Often people have mentioned how Whole Tones has helped their pets as well. Michael Terrell, the creator of Whole Tones, has a dog that he loves. Oh, great dog too. Great looking dog. And I love Studio Dog Lady too. The creator of Whole Tones, Michael Terrell, again, dog that he loves. Treats like family. So it only made sense that he created Whole Tones for Pets. If you haven't done so already, go to WholeTonesForPets.com. Check this out, WholeTonesForPets.com. It's a calming, soothing music for stressed-out pets. The music player comes preloaded with nearly 1 hour of 396 hertz Whole Tones music, which is a frequency that customers have said works to calm their pets. The music is designed to give relief to your furry companions. Hey, if they're dealing with separation anxiety or being overly stressed or whatever the case might be, even loud noises like fireworks in the summer or Christmas carolers, you know, the nagging, I'm kidding, but you get the idea. It could even help the antisocial behavior in cats and more. All you have to do is set the player on your countertop, plug it in, and it's going to play automatically. You're going to notice a positive difference in your pet. And if they're at peace, you can be at peace too. Visit WholeTonesForPets.com. That's WholeTonesForPets.com. Use the promo code Hagman to receive free shipping. Do that for me, okay? There it is on the screen. Go to WholeTonesForPets.com. Use promo code Hagman for free shipping. All right. Michael really did a great job. Michael Terrell did a great job. Just an amazing job with setting this up. I've noticed the difference in lady and such. All right. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about here. With the release of the IG report, you've got over 500 pages. You've got a couple of things that I want to kind of get into a little bit. But I'm not going to talk about the report itself, only because, frankly, you have too many people yammering about it. I'm going to go a step ahead. However, we have to understand the central issue here, or at least the central issue of the investigation. Did the FBI mislead the FISA court with respect to Christopher Steele? Let's get straight here. While Steele, and don't forget, Steele worked for the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, as well as the Clinton campaign back in 2016. So, did the FBI purposely mislead the FISA court? That was the, when you're hearing everyone talk, all right? And again, I'm deliberately not addressing the report itself. This is the reaction, and this, what in my view, is what comes next. And this ties into the coup that's labeled the impeachment. So hang with me here. Now, consider this, too. When was this report commissioned, or when was this investigation started? Because, look, I know as an investigator, when I worked for Fortune 100 and 500 companies, they'd contact me. I'd have a meeting. We'd go over all of the issues, and I'd accept the case. I'd start an investigation. An investigation would be opened. That would be the day of the start of the investigation. In this case, it was March 28th of 2018. Now, for those of you keeping score at home, you're looking at 621 days from the date it was opened, the date the investigation was opened, until the report was generated. 621 days. Or stated differently, 1 year, 8 months, and 11 days. Now consider this, okay? 1 year, 8 months, 11 days. Consider this. Back in 1929, it took 1928, late 28, 29, it took a year and 45 days to construct the Empire State Building. It was completed on March 17th of 1930. It took under, 6 months, four months to draft the Constitution. Now, this report contains over 100 interviews and just a bunch of man hours. I don't know. But people are looking now. The issue here, as I mentioned in the video for the Patreon members or the patrons, the issue is about intent. It's become about intent, hasn't it? And I want to talk about this, because since when has intent become really the central focus of this? Now I'll show you what intent is. Intent is, well, what happened with Owen Schroyer did today. Did you see this, by the way? Eric the Tech actually brought this to my attention. I happened to miss this morning. Owen Schroyer from InfoWars was in Washington. And there it is. I put it up on my on Douglas Hagman, my personal Twitter feed. Please, what do you call that? Follow? What do you do with Twitter? Help me out here.
Yep.
Thank you.
Follow right there.
Follow. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that word follow or anyway, but yeah, put that back up there. Well, you know what? Let's do it this way. We've got some video of Owen Schroyer. Now, Owen Schroyer is a very intelligent man, and he doesn't do things without, let me just say this, he doesn't do things spontaneously. Just keep that in the back of your mind, okay? In case you missed it, Owen Schroyer spoke to NADS, the garden gnome Nadler, today as the impeachment hearings or the coup attempt, the coup process was beginning. Do we have that video? Yep. All right, here it is from bandit.video, I think from Owen's own team's video. Here it is.
Jerry Nadler and the Democrat Party are committing treason against this country. And you can kick me out, but he's the one committing crimes. You are Jerry Nadler. You're the one committing treason. America's done with this. America's sick of the treason committed by the Democrat Party. We're not going to sit here and watch you run an impeachment and remove our vote. We voted for Donald Trump, and they're simply removing it because they don't like it. Americans are sick of your impeachment, Santa. They're sick of the Democrat treason. We know who committed the crimes. It wasn't Trump. Trump is innocent.
All right. Do we have his arrest, Eric? Did I send it to you from this morning today? If not, his arrest. If you go to my or Hagman Report Facebook page, I put his arrest video in a comment. If you can get that, that was you saw Owen Schroyer being removed from the hearing room. It might be difficult for him to get a press pass. I'm not sure, but I mean, here's the issue. How many of us want to do exactly that? Why do I bring this up now? Why did I interrupt or seemingly interrupt my train of thought? Because I said, I'm going to tell you how this is going to play out. And it's probably not the way you think. Because we're going to end up having to do exactly what Owen did if we want results. And you may say, oh, come on. You know, where's that statesmanlike conduct? You have to have decorum. Well, Nadler's got to have decorum in the room while he overthrows the will of the American people, right? Things are about to get really ugly out there. If you go to HagmanReport.com, there's six stories I put up today, including six videos. I'm going to be getting to all of them. Two videos, I'm going to tell you right now, are the reason why. You ready for this? You will not see any witnesses called in the Senate by President Donald Trump. What? What'd you just say? There's going to be an impeachment trial in the Senate, yet there's going to be no witnesses called by Donald Trump? What are you talking about? That's exactly what I'm saying.
I think I have a clip of that.
Okay, the arrest? All right, let's play the arrest because, again, this goes into what I'm talking about.
I'm being hauled out of here when the Democrats are the ones committing crimes. So I'm being arrested right now for disrupting the Congress. I'm a criminal for my First Amendment rights. See you right here, folks.
All right, that's from band.video, of course, but here's the situation. Now, don't take what I'm saying here in a wrong sense. What Owen Schroyer did was object vociferously to the takeover of our nation. He was addressing and calling out the elitists, the swamp, the members of the swamp, in this sham of an impeachment. Now, we all know it's a sham. And there it is right there. If you go to Infowars.com, there it is. Reporter arrested after calling impeachment hearings a scam. Okay. Now, think about this, what I just said to you. we have these impeachment hearings going. And when I say impeachment hearings, they're really not that because, again, impeachment involves the entire House. This doesn't. But ultimately, the House is going to vote on it. And everyone is waiting, in addition to the IG report having come out, everyone is waiting, oh, just wait until Donald Trump gets in the Senate, or the Senate gets a hold of this. Because we have a majority in the Senate. Just wait. Hang on. Because you know what? The left, they're going to pay, and they're going to rue the day. They're going to rue the day that they even mentioned it. And you know, you wanted this, right? In other words, hey, left, to the people of the left, you wanted this. You remember, you called for this. So we're going to give it to you. And I see out there in the fantasy land, I see people saying, oh, wait until you just wait until we get to the Senate. Oh, you are going to rue the day that you ever brought this up. You hearing that? I'm hearing that. Want to bet? You want to bet? All right. I'll tell you why. Tell you why that ain't going to happen. Can happen. You're saying to me, what? What do you mean it can't happen? Then how's this going to play out? And why can't it happen? It's got to happen. Wait, what? Huh? It's got to happen. All right, let's go to the first video. This from One America News. Listen carefully. The U.S. ambassador, Marie Gagne, I always get her name screwed up. The U.S. ambassador, she committed perjury in front of Congress. One American News interviewed leaders and former leaders in Ukraine, along with Rudy Giuliani. The videos were released yesterday, just this past weekend. Some important stuff here. We have the video for U.S. Ambassador perjury. Let's play that, and I'll explain this.
Now we want to go to Budapest, Hungary, where One America's Chanel Rion has been tracking down Ukrainian witnesses as part of an exclusive OAN investigative series dismantling the Adam Schiff impeachment hoax.
In an exclusive interview with One America News, Ukrainian former Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko says Yovanovitch perjured herself before Congress and America, and he has the documents to prove it.
So, Mr. Lutsenko, you inherited Mr. Shokin's prosecutor general office, and describe for us your first interaction with the U.S. Embassy in this position.
So everything was good, but then Yovanovitch visited me.
Ambassador Yovanovitch.
Ambassador Yovanovitch and Mr. Kett, they visited me for small negotiation or tokens.
Did they visit you in your office? Just curious.
Yes. Firstly, I visited her in her office, and then it was the second meeting, but the first in my office. They visited me. And we spoke normally, and she asked me to change some old deputies.
For context, when Obama's point man for Ukraine, Joe Biden, bragged about how he threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. aid in order to successfully fire the prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, Biden paints himself the hero, performing a public service.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I looked at it, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
Biden never mentioned the fact his son Hunter was on the board of Burisma, Ukraine's largest oil and gas company. Biden also never mentioned the fact that the prosecutor he got fired was investigating Burisma. This conflict of interest raised little actual interest amongst the media. That's when our interview Yuri Lutsenko inherited the fired prosecutor's office. But soon after the inheritance, Lutsenko received an interesting visit.
But then she asked me about to close case of one person. Then I said, no, it is impossible. I couldn't close any case without investigation. So I took a piece of paper on my table, and I write these three, not cases, but synonyms: Pesko, Leshenko, Shabunin. Okay, Miss Ambassador, Madam Ambassador. Let's continue your untouchable list. She asked me, why are you so serious? And then I destroyed this list. So while I am general prosecutor, no president nor ambassador could give me or could announce me such lists. That was the full story. So she ran immediately from the office, and my boy in near office doors asked me, what you told her? His red face and very angry. I didn't agree to receive any orders to open or to close criminal cases.
Fast forward to Adam Schiff's impeachment inquiry, and Schiff called up Ambassador Yovanovitch to testify. Lutsenko says he was shocked to watch Yovanovitch's testimony when she said she never gave him such a list. Technically, says Lutsenko, no, she never gave him a list. The list still came from her. When Lutsenko found a case in which $7 billion went to the U.S. via possible money laundering to a firm called Franklin Templeton, he wanted help from the U.S. Justice Department to track down and retrieve this money. Ambassador Yovanovitch, says Lutsenko, played the obstructor.
I was once again shocked when Madame Yovanovitch told to members of the committee that Lutsenko asked me to organize his meeting with American Attorney General. But you know, gentlemen, that there is a procedure for this, she told. The procedure that Lutsenko should, or even must, give us a short topic, what points he wants to discuss with American law enforcement bodies. And Yovanovitch said, and he never gave us such an information. I have bad news for Madame Yovanovitch. This is my letter, my deputy letter, to request for cooperation in investigation against the criminal organization of Yanukovych and regarding possible investment in the U.S. based mutual and other funds for the purpose of money laundering.
Stay tuned. For more bombshells from this exclusive interview, watch for the next part in our One America News Investigates.
Okay. Now, you might think, well, okay, what's that all about? It proves, number one, that the U.S. ambassador, at least in my view, it proves Yovanovitch perjured herself under oath. Now, back where I came from, that used to be a crime. Anymore, I guess, I don't know. I guess it's okay. But see, those are Ukrainian, former Ukrainian officials that are being interviewed. So if we have evidence, we meaning the, I'll just say if the Justice Department has evidence or has reason to believe that or Congress, whatever body, investigative body would be looking at this, if they've got reason to believe, for example, that there was corruption facilitated or corruption that took place in Ukraine, and especially with the U.S. ambassador potentially committing perjury in her congressional testimony, what do you do? You would bring the individuals, you would call them to testify, correct? Well, that would have worked under the Obama regime when corruption, in quotation marks, was so prevalent. Except that guess who wouldn't allow, or guess who wouldn't grant visas, or not visas, but entry into the United States? That's right. That's right. The State Department. Yovanovitch, no, we can't have that. We're not going to allow these people in the United States. Okay, so hold that thought. All right, here you've got that man holding power in Russia or Ukraine, saying Yovanovitch lied. Here's my list; I could prove it. Okay, she told me that these entities are hands off. Yovanovitch, during her congressional testimony, says, oh, I never gave anyone any such list. He says, well, technically she didn't give me a list. She gave me the names, but not a list. Right? Same thing. Okay. Now keep that in the back of your mind. And again, remember, we've got this impeachment circus sham taking place, which really is not impeachment. It's an overthrow of the government. And this dog dung of the IG report. I guess I can get a little bit irritated at it, but, during this broadcast, I said I wasn't going to really address it, but you know, 400 and some odd pages, 435, six pages of just crap. All right. But remember, all big things are going to happen. Wait for it. Okay. You saw the One American News Network interview. Number one. If you go to HagmanReport.com, both of these are on there. Let's go to the next interview. And I promise you I'm going to make sense by the end. I promise you. Just have faith in me. Let's go to number two.
And former Prosecutor General Victor Shokin speaks to OAN about Joe Biden's direct role in getting his office to stop investigating his son, Hunter. One America Chanel Rion has that story.
Former Ukrainian Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin told One American News in Kyiv that in July and August of 2015, his office prepared to question Hunter Biden over money laundering activities tracing directly back to Burisma. Shokin says pressure to stop investigating Hunter Biden's Burisma activities then increased, and President Poroshenko personally asked Shokin to wind down the Burisma investigation to appease then-Vice President and Obama's Ukraine point man, Joe Biden. As the months passed, more cases and investigations into Burisma began to spring up, and President Poroshenko came to Shokin's office and told Shokin the Burisma case was why Joe Biden wouldn't release $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees, money Ukraine needed desperately. Yes, said Shokin. That's what he told me. He came to me and said, you are a patriot of Ukraine. We need this $1 billion. We're at war, and if you are a patriot, you will close this case. My conversation with Poroshenko on this, Shokin says, was in a phone call. It was after we started seizing Burisma assets in Ukraine when Poroshenko called me and said, listen, this all has to stop already. Joe Biden's temper is overflowing. This seizing of Burisma assets, said Poroshenko, was the last straw. Shokin says Poroshenko then paid him a visit in his office, asking for Shokin's resignation. Shokin responded and asked, why do I have to go? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm doing my job. This is standard procedure. We have reason to freeze Burisma assets. And Poroshenko said, Biden is angry about you freezing Burisma assets. I'll figure something out. We asked Shokin if this demand for a resignation was specifically because Biden had asked for it, or if there were other possible reasons. Shokin insists it was all Biden. Because of Biden, says Shokin. Everyone knew what was going on. Poroshenko told me directly that I had to step down as prosecutor general because of Joe Biden. Biden and leftist media claim Shokin was corrupt and inept and had to be dismissed, despite the fact that not a single charge of corruption has ever been raised or proven against Shokin to date. To this, Shokin shrugs. Shokin says people don't have to believe him. Just look at the transcripts. Biden's transcripts, that is. The transcripts of Biden's telephone conversations with Poroshenko, says Shokin, is where the truth will show itself. Americans must demand it. And if they do, they will see, broad as day, Joe Biden was illegally influencing foreign officials in order to protect his son, Hunter, and shield illegal money laundering activities. One American News verified on camera what Shokin has stated for months when he issued a stunning 12-page sworn affidavit to an Austrian court stating how Joe Biden was directly involved in interfering with active cases under investigation. For more, be sure to watch part three of our One American News Investigates special, debunking the Adam Schiff case for impeachment. I'm Chanel Rion, One American News, Washington.
Want to see more videos?
All right. You guys tired of this yet? He's saying, stop, don't make me watch any more of this. Okay. There's a reason why I had those two videos. And there's a reason why, if you go to HagmanReport.com, those two videos are there. Please do that. Now, if I can trouble you, if I can impose upon you for one more video, and this is Well, this is the Hogan's Heroes slash Sergeant Schultz, Joe Biden, in an interview. Axios, I believe it was reported at Axios. Hey, quid pro Joe, what about your son? What about Burisma? What about Ukraine? Care to comment, Joe? Garden gnome, or not garden gnome, Sergeant Schultz, Joe Biden, care to comment on this? Do we have that? Let's rock. Watch this.
On your son, Hunter Biden, President Trump says, Sleepy Joe has real problems. Reminds me of Crooked Hillary and her 33,000 deleted emails. A lot of the Ukraine charges about you have been debunked and were unfair. There's one thing that a lot of Democrats even do wonder about, and that is Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test.
Mistake
number one. When
you're
vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was... there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family.
Let's do that.
This is so. These guys are amazing.
All right, yeah, we don't have to go any
further. You think that everything that happened,
you get the idea. I mean, it's over anyway. All right, why all of these videos? Why the painful task of having to view these videos? Let me explain something now. Now that the IG report is out, I guess I'm going to have to address this. Now that the IG's report is out, and now that you are thoroughly disappointed and the impeachment slash coup is progressing, when I say thoroughly disappointed, look, I get the fact. Look, I saw earlier today, Mark Meadows sending out messages, tweeting out, when was this? It was at a little after noon, 12:35 Eastern time today. Mark Meadows, I just got out of a nearly two-hour briefing on the IG report. It's deeply disturbing. Some former FBI and DOJ officials are about to have some serious explaining to do. More to come shortly. And then 7 minutes later, Mark Meadows writes, after reading this, it's no wonder we've been seeing defensive leaks in the New York Times and CNN, and the Democrats rushed to hold an impeachment hearing the same day. It's every bit as bad as advertised and certainly worse than the media has been suggesting. Okay. Now, people have been putting their faith in the IG report and then saying, well, don't worry, because Durham and Barr, the Attorney General, and Durham are going to be taking care of this. They're going to be issuing indictments and they're sealed indictments, and there are going to be perp walks and, you know, okay, right? And oh, even better, and here's the coup de grace here, and I've been hearing this a lot, even better is, let me just get my notes here, even better is the Senate trial, right? The Senate trial. All right, let me just grab this. All right, even better is the Senate trial. Because there, oh boy, President Trump is going to call Hunter Biden, and President Trump is going to be talking about Burisma and all kinds of stuff. I mean, the Senate trial is going to be the 4D chess absolute maneuver that's going to, it's going to reveal all. It's going to reveal all. It's not going to happen. Yesterday morning, I don't know how many people watched this. I saw Lindsey Graham. He was on Fox News, Sunday Morning Futures. Did you happen to see this? Now, he's a Republican. He's on the right, right? He found Jesus in politics, that is, and he converted to Donald Trump. And he, okay. What did he say? Anyone catch this? Senator Lindsey Graham announced that he's going to take all appropriate efforts to stop any discussion about Ukraine in the Senate. He also said unequivocally that he will not call witnesses, and he will quickly move to dismiss the House impeachment effort. What about Adam Schiff? You want to call him as a witness? No. Calling congressmen to testify, that's a dangerous path to go down, dangerous road to go down. What's going on here? Let me tell you. All the people who thought, well, Donald Trump is just waiting until it gets to the Senate. Call witnesses, expose the muck and mire of the deep state. It's all going to happen. The IG report, the Barr investigation, the Durham investigation. I'm purposely talking like this. Then, of course, the trial in the Senate when Donald Trump is going to put the hammer down and expose all these deep state players, the leftists, the Adam Schiffs. It's going to happen. Can't. It can't. And Lindsey Graham just told you it's not going to happen. We can't do this. We can't do this. As a matter of fact, you know how everyone's saying we got to push it. We got to make it fast because, oh gosh, it's dividing this country. It's dividing the Democrats, the left, they're dividing this country. That's true. So we got to put a stop to it because it's dividing the country. That's not so much true. So what's the real reason? The real reason is that the left from Adam Schiff to Senate Republicans or Senate Democrats to the right in the House and in the Senate, particularly in the Senate from John McCain, John McCain moving to, oh, I don't know, Lindsey Graham. They were all doing the same thing. Why do you think people spend $10 million? The Senate candidates spend, what, $5, $10, $15, $20 million for a job that pays, what, $325,000, $350,000 a year? Why do you think that is? Did that ever make sense to you? Remember back in, I don't even know if they have these anymore. Remember back in the day, you used to hire someone for like $750. Hey, find me a job. I can't remember what they called those places, but you remember those? Do they still have them? Eric Tech, do you know if they still have them? You looking for a job? Never mind. Don't worry. Don't ask me. Or don't answer me. Here's the thing. Lindsey Graham says, look, you're tearing the country apart. You can't have this, so we need to put a stop to this immediately. So as soon as we have 51 votes, President Trump, don't worry about this. We got this. We've got this. We're going to dispense of this right away in the Senate because it's tearing the country apart. And you know what? It's putting you through a lot of bad stuff. So as soon as we have, as soon as I know that we got 51 votes, we're going to get rid of the appropriate number of votes. We're going to get rid of it right now. We're going to shut this down. Yeah. The impeachment over here in the House. Yeah. You were impeached, but in terms of the Senate, it's going to be, you know, you're by ma'am and put it behind you for the good of the country. So you won't have to call witnesses. In fact, I would say within 48 to 72 hours from the start of the Senate trial, they'll shut it down. They'll shut that baby down quicker than you can say Ukraine. You know why? Again, just to drive this point home. From McCain to Lindsey Graham, they were all involved in a level of money laundering. And you know Mitch McConnell too. Here's the thing. Mitch McConnell, you see, as a senator, you come in, you're one of 100 people in the world, or in the United States anyway, that has this power. So you bow to the chair of the Senate leader of the Senate. And, if you're good, or if you are corrupted, I don't know, however you want to look at it, you can get into all money. You can get perks and bonuses, kind of like, you know, well, yeah, you can get money from this foreign asset over here, this foreign firm. Don't forget, election's coming up, so yeah, why not? Is an extra $5 million in your coffers? Does that sound pretty decent? They're all doing it. Exactly what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden did. Now, with some tweaks and some massages, they're all doing it. Or at least I would say 90% of them. So you can doggone well bet that come the day in the Senate, and I know people are not going to want to hear this. They don't want to hear this. Don't take away my hope. Don't take away my hope. Because I was so looking forward to seeing Donald Trump call witnesses and having the truth finally come out in the Senate. It ain't going to happen. They can't afford it because it would be like, how do I explain that? It would be like confessing to my own sins, right? If I were a senator. Can't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. So the impeachment effort will end for the good of the country. No, not really. Will end because the underlying discoveries have potential to expose the network of congressional influence agents. John McCain, formerly now Cindy McCain, the foundation. Graham himself. Any witness testimony, you can't permit that. So we'll shut it down. Does that make sense to you? Eric the Tech, does that make sense? I mean, I don't know if you listen. I don't know if I put you to sleep, but does that make sense to you? They can't do it.
Yep.
Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Yep. Strong. All right. Look. So then you say, well, it's all part of a bigger plan, right? Oh, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I've been involved in a lot of investigations. Local police, state, municipal, county, FBI, Department of Justice. I know when smoke's being blown up my skirt, and this is one of those times. Now we've got the IG report out. I really don't want to get into this, but I will. If you really want to know where the juice is, I guess you would go to the good stuff. Well, let me go over here to this. And you've heard this a thousand times before today or during throughout today. The Office of the Inspector General's analysis appears in Chapter 11. The Office of the Inspector General's conclusions and, wait for it, 9 recommendations to the Department of Justice and FBI appear in Chapter 12. Now, by way of attachment, the FBI, their response is included in the report. Now, okay, now understand this. This is a political investigation, as I mentioned earlier. This is not for law enforcement. This is not to say we are going to charge you or we're going to indict this person or indict that person. That's up to Attorney General Bill Barr. Hey, Bill, you got a nutsack? I mean, you got some fur in the kiwis there? What you going to do? Because the door, in my view, the door to the Senate has slammed pretty hard. And we haven't even gotten to the Senate yet. But as I opined here, that door's shut. So, Bill Barr, what you going to do? Well, what about John Bull Durham? Joe, trust me. Indictments are coming. Are they really? You're going to see some indictments of some low hanging fruit. But I would ask you, and I'll do a separate video on this or a separate report on this, whether it's video or it'll be video, but take a look at the OIG's report. Go ahead. Look at it. Read it. Disappointed? Did you expect something different? What have I been talking about? I guess my question is, do you now believe, or have you ever believed, that justice is coming? No. And we can go through this, like, for example, on page 130, I did take some notes. Carter Page alleged coordination with the Russian government in the 2016 U.S. presidential elections, for example. I could bore you with this, but I'm a big picture kind of guy. But in this case, the drafts of the application and later the copy and final application relied entirely on information from Steele, that Steele was said was provided to him by his primary subsource. And it reads on and on and on like that. It's enough to give you a headache. There is widespread institutional failure, but it's not just failure, because you can't have this widespread institutional failure without specific malice involved. What we see here are the grounds, do comprise the grounds for criminal referrals. And when I have more time to read the report, unlike others who just see something and spout off, when I have time to digest it and go through it, like I said, I'm going to have a different, I'll have a video report on this. But I think the argument can be made, obviously, that we have bad people doing bad things against the President of the United States, but exactly to what end? Where's this all going? That's the entire, if I was to sum up this hour, I would say that everything you thought you believed was going to happen, if you were on that positive end of things, have faith. Have faith. The swamp will be cleaned out. Have faith. Folks, the only way that swamp is going to get clean is if you and I do it, if we do it. That's my belief. They're going to cut the legs off any investigation in the Senate. Graham's going to do that. So we're not going to have any relief in Senate testimony. I think I made that clear. Barr/Durham, you expect to see high-level criminal referrals and indictments? Hillary Clinton's still walking around. What's that about? Yet we're still talking about it. There's only one place to put your faith, and that's an almighty God. There's only one place to put your hope, and that's an almighty God. Because I'll tell you what we're seeing here, the level of corruption that we've seen and we are seeing, whether it's the Republicans or Democrats, bear in mind that Democrats are much, 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 much worse. But the Republicans, it's the uniparty versus everyone else. The only way we're going to win is if we do this ourselves or demand it to be done in our name. Because right now it ain't happening. Don't put your faith, and I mean this, do not put your faith in some, LARPish, LARP-like hopium den that does nothing more than inconvenience electrons on the internet. Don't do that. Isn't it nice how, while things like that does cause people to think for themselves, the price for inaction and continued inaction. There was that thing I read last week. There comes a point in time when it becomes past the time to act. And that's where we're heading in that direction right now. I hope that made sense. The fact of the matter is this. You're going to see this sham, this coup attempt in the House Judiciary Committee continue. You heard what the Ukrainians had to say, right? You heard what Biden had to say. You know that both the right and left are involved in the same thing Biden and the son have done, like, I guess in a nutshell, to kind of sum it up. So you're going to see this go through the House. You're going to see the Judiciary Committee in the House. It's going to be put to the House floor for a vote. President Trump will be impeached. It'll go to the Senate, and everyone's hopeful. Oh, boy, this is... And in the Senate, they're going to say, oh, no, 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 we can't put the country through this anymore. So, hey, we've got enough votes. Bang, 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 ba-da-bing, ba-da-bang, you're done. End of story. Mr. President, don't worry. Don't worry. You don't have to bring any witnesses. We're not going to. It's over. We snuffed it out for you, for the good of the country, when, in fact, they were covering their own asses. And that's the way it is. Barr? Hey, Bill, what you doing? Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust. Things are happening behind the scenes. Yeah. How many times have I heard that in my 60 years or 35 years as an investor? Don't worry. Don't worry. Oh, just wait. It's coming. How's that waiting working out for you? Pretty soon. What? Justice delayed is justice denied. All right. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Steve Quayle and Daniel Horowitz talking about a number of different issues, including where we're at today. I'll be putting up the schedule on to the Patreon supporters and then releasing it as well to the general public. For the week, got a good week planned for you. Thursday, Jack Cashel is going to be joining me. Meanwhile, tonight, after the show, if you have a hard time sleeping, go ahead and read the IG report. And of course, you know what? Might not be the best. Another tidbit. Massive counterintelligence investigation against political campaign of opposing party was started solely from on a tip from foreign government, nothing else, IG says. Yeah, okay. Within days, four campaign officials targeted, picked because they'd been to Russia or talked to Russians. Wow, does this look flimsy? That earlier today from Molly Hemingway. Again, how's that hope working out for you? How's that trust? Hey, trust, there's things, sealed indictments. How's that working out for you? I don't mean to pound that home. Are we still trusting the plan? Folks, I want to thank you so much for your support. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget Hagman Coffee, because on days like this, nights like this, I need the caffeine. I need the bean. I need the bean. That should be a saying. I need the bean. Until tomorrow, God bless. Have a great night.